His word that in 2 Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season word.
It's really the true people I've called them to be. This 25th chapter, Jesus talks about to give this prediction. It is predicted to be this time after the seven-year tribulation. If you look in the prediction, the foreseeable future, that time after this seven-year tribulation, right before his millennial reign, that thousand-year reign where he shall come and he shall reign on earth, and he's going to judge his believers. This is not the same judgment, the great white judgment that you see in Revelation. This is the earthly judgment when Jesus makes his second advent to the earth. And so Jesus gives his disciples and us a little precursor. He gives us a little glimpse of what's going to happen. The good news is this morning, you ain't got to wait till it happens. He's giving you scripture today to prepare you for what's going to happen down the road. And the question comes is what kind of Christian are you? Look at today, brothers and sisters, firstly, the call. There's going to be a call to determine what kind of Christian we are. There is a call every day of our life when the gospel is preached, when the gospel is shared. There is a call. God is calling his people. All year long, God called his people. All year in 2020, there were things that we heard the word of God in ways we never heard it before. We're able to hear the word of God, not just coming together collectively. We were able to hear the call of God even virtually. Some of us have even adopted, tell the truth, some of us even got Facebook and virtual pastors. So much so that we don't listen to our own local pastors because you got so much availability to hear word. My question to us is, if you've been under that much word, why have you not answered the call? You've been listening to this person. You've been listening to that one. You done listened to her. You done listened to him. You done heard everybody saying the same thing that your own very own shepherd has been preaching. And the question is not how good they preaching. The question is, have you been listening? There is a call, and Jesus said, the Son of Man, on this day, the Son of Man is going to come. He's going to come escorted by his holy angels. And he's going to come, and he's going to call. There's going to be a gathering of all the believers. There is a gathering that's going to be coming. Now the gathering is not, it's to all nations, and nations there means people, and people means Gentiles. This is for the non-Jews. In other words, that's for you and I. That the Gentiles will be called to this gathering. There has been a space since the scripture and to now where God has been calling non-Jews to him. That we heard the word of God, we heard the gospel call, we heard the calling of God through the taught word, through the shared word of God, and we responded. We took a preacher's hand, we were saved, we were converted, we got baptized, and we joined the family of God. And from that point on, we were now called stewards and sons and joint heirs of the Most High God. And the call, our job has been to call others. Call others to get them to hear the call and respond to the call of Christ Jesus. God has been speaking through a pandemic. God spoke before a pandemic. God's going to speak after the pandemic. God has been speaking. And now, since we've gotten used to the pandemic, we don't even respond to the call anymore because we're not as afraid as we once were. We've allowed these physical masks to really hide the spiritual mask that we've had on all this time. And God says, and some people are frustrated because in this group of Gentiles who have responded to the call, there is a great gathering. I love it. Because God gathers people who said they love him. Yeah. God is gathering the people. Jesus, on his second advent, when he comes back, he's coming for the folk who shouted that they love him. He's going to call folk who preach like they love him. People who sang like they love him. People who showed up to worship like they love him. But the indictment of it is, ladies and gentlemen, that many people who show up to worship don't really worship. Because did you know this morning, ladies and gentlemen, that you don't come to church to serve? You come to church to worship. You depart the church to go serve. Your service is not within the four walls of a church building. That's why some folk are messed up right now, because your only identity to the body of Christ is what you're able to be seen doing on Sunday morning. You ain't got no testimony. You don't have a word in you. You were not really saved, but you join church so that when the world sees you, all they see is your usher pin. They see your robe. They see your bishop collar, but they look at your life and they don't see anything that looks like what you say you are. And now you can't come to the church like you used to. So really, what testimony do you have? Who are you when you can't come to church? And all year we were examined by the world. And the critique of this is that we look just like the world does. God is finding his people. When you can't go to church and you just got to be everybody else, when everything gets gathered, everybody's in the same playing field, you just like everybody else. You don't have any faith. There is no word to keep you. Now, you didn't want to come to Bible study, but now you log on to it. Didn't want to come to worship, now you can log on to it, and you still don't have a word to keep you in difficult time, because our only relevance to the body of Christ is coming to church and doing my thing. What can I do if I can't come? What can I do if I can't be in church? Because I'm used to doing that on Sunday morning. I'm just used to being in church. Okay, but what are you used to doing on Saturday? What are you used to doing on Monday and Tuesday? Who are you then? Are you just the church on Sunday with everybody else? And look what I love about what Jesus does. Jesus gathers everybody. Lord have mercy. I love it. He says, you local shepherds, let them be just who they are. Let the wheat and the tares grow together. Don't you cut them out. Because I want them growing together and removing all these excuses people like to make that I didn't know, I didn't have a chance, I didn't get a chance to figure it out. There will be no excuse when the Son of Man comes back, because every last one of us, under the sound of my voice, if you can log on and see somebody in a versus battle, if you can watch people fight, you can get on there and look at somebody give a word to you. Jesus says, I'm gonna gather all nations, all these Gentiles that have been given the call and who say they love God. He said, but then watch this, a part of this call, I'm going to do, as I gather, I'm going to separate. And this is the trick of the thing now. This is the tension in the text, because there's going to be a great separation even in the great gathering. That Jesus himself says he's going to put the sheep on the right and go put the goats, which means that there are goats that show up in the gathering. And sheep have to learn how to live amongst goats. Now watch this. This is not what he told his disciples nine earlier in Matthew, because this is not a separating of sheep and wolves. I told you this is sheep and goats. Anybody can know that wolves are the enemy. But what do you do when goats and sheep got the same shepherd? And you're able to live amongst each other. How can you have two different animals in the same flock? And God has watched throughout these years, God has watched two different species grow up in the same flock. You can be a goat and be in the flock of God. There are some goats who are disobedient but show up all the time. There are goats who buck against authority and smile all day long. There are goats who won't do anything right, who never do what God says do, but they keep showing up and look good, like look the part, because he has not excommunicated them from the fold. My question, and sheep are considered to be dumb because sheep simply follow their shepherd. Sheep are considered to be weak and silly and sleep and being a dumb sheep. Look at how the world talks about us now as believers. We're called silly, dumb sheep because we choose to believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose up on a third day morning with all power in his hands, and we can live for him. We're called dumb sheep because we forgive folk. We're called dumb sheep because we give our best to the Lord. We're called dumb sheep because we pay our tithes and give our offering. We're called dumb sheep because we walk with people. We love those who hate us. We bless them who curse us. We don't do like the world does. Society tell you, get them back. Ghosts tell you, cut their throat before they cut you. Ghosts tell them, get them. Don't fall for that. Have some common sense. Some goats who pass the churches. It's some goats who lead ministry. It's some goats who count money. It's some goats who sing songs. It's some goats. You sitting next to a goat. You sitting in a ghost chair right now. Because the reality of it is, there are some times we've been sheep. There's been some times we've been goats. Yeah, and the thing is, you got to pick a side. Because sooner or later, he going to put you somewhere and you can't flip-flop. You got time now to choose if you're going to be a sheep, you got to follow. If you're going to be a goat, keep bucking. But you can't pretend to be a sheep because he's watching, and he's watching how you've been doing. God, can I tell you something real honestly? God ain't looking at us on no Sunday. God ain't studying none of this. This is for us. This is for us to be encouraged. This is for us to get better. This is for us to be renewed. God ain't looking at us. God looking when we leave here. God looks at us when nobody's watching. God looks at us when we had them backdoor conversations. God looks at us when we had them meetings before the meeting. Because some stuff is goat talk and some stuff is sheep talk. If you listen to how goats and sheep sound, they sound just alike. Goats and sheep both sound just alike. You have to be a trained shepherd to know the difference between sheep and goats. Because some goats have been around sheep long enough, they know how to sound like sheep. And we know how to act around certain times. We know how to conduct ourselves when we're in the fold. But who are you before he gather you? Anybody can look like sheep when you're gathered, when he called you. But how have you responded to the call? Are you living what you done amen'd all week long? We amen and we like it, we heart it virtually, but have you applied it to your own physical heart, your spiritual heart? There's a call to determine what kind of Christian we are. And you can't jump to the right side just because you want to be looked at as a sheep. Here's the shout. Here's my shout. It's based on how the Lord sees it. Watch. Watch this. Watch this. It's some folk who have been good boys and girls who are goats. Oh, somebody will help me say something. It's been some good boys and good girls. Because, see, some sheep don't know goats when they see them. So it's not up to sheep to look for goats. Sometimes God leaves goats around sheep to see what not to be.
y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready for that.
Because goats are slick, but they just can't submit. Goats just will not follow the shepherd. But there's no other shepherd that's going to support them. No one else going to put up with them but a shepherd. Because goats can't make it by themselves. And they're hiding out in the fold for safety. But they're not hiding out to grow and be better. They just can't do any better than they're doing right now. Therefore, I might as well be looked at as part of the fold. All of us are a part of the fold this morning. All of us say we members of the body of Christ. I love my church shirts, and we come to all the meetings, and we come and we support, and we cash up our tithes and offerings. But when it comes to moving forward and following leadership, that goat come out in you. Y'all know how them goats do when they get mad, when them goats, they can't, something happens to them. They can't sit still. Mm-mm. That's what we do spiritually. I ain't finna follow. I ain't finna forgive. I know God's word told me to forgive, but I'm gonna keep that in me. What about when they said it to me? What about when they did it to me? She can't tell me what to do. He can't tell me what to do. Who in charge of that? Who run that? If the pastor ain't said, I ain't doing it. I ain't finna pay no 25. I'm gonna pay 24. I'm grown. I can do without all them goats, man. If I had time, I'd deal with them goats. Goats, we got a way. There's a way goats have about them. Way them goats have. So. Sheep praise and goat praise sound alike. It's only when it's a movement that you can determine sheep from goats. That's why you can't get caught up on who making noise. You got to be caught on who making a move. And if you're the same that you've been all this time, you just might be a goat. Because goats don't want to move and make no changes. Sheep have no choice but follow the shepherd. This is where God has taken us. This is where the vision has taken us. I might not understand it, but I know I don't know no better than the shepherd. I'm going to follow the shepherd and not get in trouble. Goats try to be shepherds.
I better leave that alone. I better leave that alone.
It's some goats who smile. It's some goats who call you reverend. It's some goats who buy you dinner so you'll shut your mouth. It's goats who will call you out the blue and try to get you involved in something. And in the words of Stacey Jones, when you grin, you're in. You didn't know what you was involved in because they hooked you up into some more goat mess. And try to cause division in the fold. And we saw this world all year long, 2020. God allowed a worldwide pandemic to be a call for his people to really stand up and show who they are. And that's just what God's people did. Showed who they really are. We saw some folk who we have followed their ministry, televangelists. We've heard them say something, some stuff concerning people who look like me, some things, the way they feel about people, my skin tone, and how they feel about folk who live where I live. And you mean tell me that God is only concerned with Republican and Democrat? And you heard prominent shepherds say stuff like this. You heard prominent people getting mad because of a candidate winning and a candidate losing. And we thought these were people we've been following because we just knew they loved the Lord because they got big churches, they got big budgets, they got a worldwide ministry, but then you got to hear their theology. And you realize they just as hateful, they just as malicious, they're just as racist, they're just as segregationist. So sometimes I had to say, Lord, thank you for the pandemic because I was able to see you and not look at them. Because I've been following some goats. And thank God he sent some stuff to get me to the right call to hear from him and stop listening to goats disguised as sheep. Because I told you, now he ain't gathering wolves. He ain't gathering folk who trying to take you out of church. He's gathering folk who don't mean no good in church. For who've been lying to him and lying to you about loving God. How can I love God and I can't stand you? That's goat talk. How you love God, but you can't let that go? Goat. How can I love God and I can't work with you? Goat. Now, you can be a polite goat. All goats ain't rude. Some goats are polite as they can be. They just as sweet, but they goats because they will not do what God says do and go stay in the fold. They come up with every excuse. I got to move on. I got to leave this alone. I didn't know God was going to fool with these sheep and goats like this. Because some goats looking at me right now. And them goats trying to be quiet. Stop all that now. Hush, and move on to something else. I know I ain't forgave, but leave me alone. I'm still serving. I know I got that hate in my heart, but I'm still here every Sunday. Leave me alone. I did what you asked me to do. I got on my white and gold. What else you want me to do? It don't matter how I feel about them. Matter not how I feel about God. I look the part. Call. And then we go determine what kind of Christian we are by his criteria. Because as he gathers them, the sheep on the right, the goats on the left, now they're starting to see this separation. They can't say somebody put them out. They don't want me over there. No, the Lord put you. Really, you put yourself there. He just put you where you are accustomed. Because truth be told, why are you getting mad about not being where you're supposed to be? Because you don't fit in anyway. You keep trying to cause disharmony with the sheep, so you ought to be happy that he got you separated from him finally. You can't stand none of them. So now he done separated you. Why you want to be with him? Why are you looking now? You know why? Because it done showed more about who you are than who you've been trying to make them be. What happens when the Lord separates you? And now, what happens when God allows the Word and the Spirit to expose who you really are? And now you think everybody watching you. Truth be told, ain't nobody studying you. But because of the guilt, and God done separated you and shown you for who you really are, a goat hiding in church. Now you mad at sheep who were simply following the shepherd. Now you frustrated because everybody see you as the goat that you are. But watch this. Here's what happened. Told you that the great shepherd, Jesus, did the separating. No local shepherd did it. The great shepherd separated. The local shepherd's job is just to feed them. His job ain't to separate goats and sheep. So sheep stop bothering the shepherd about separating and just let him feed. Because the Lord sees who need to be separated. It ain't that the shepherd don't see. He ain't finna get himself in trouble or herself in trouble trying to separate something that he is no way. But it won't be said that I'm going to spend more time fighting than feeding. And we found shepherds all year fighting folk instead of being able to feed folk. Because goats want to run shepherds. But sheep still need to be fed. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And so there's the criteria. He says, what happens? What's going on? So he turns first to the sheep. Hey, sheep. Don't even talk to the goats. Goats just sitting there just. He done put us over here, but for the first time, goats have to be ignored. The first ones Jesus talked to is the ones who've been faithful to him. Talk to the sheep. Because here's the Lord's word. Don't expect me to hear you then, and you won't hear me now. Don't expect me to hear your excuses then, and you won't hear me now. So I'm going to give you some temporary ignorance. I'm not even going to listen to you. I'm going to talk first to the ones who listen to me. Because my sheep, y'all talking to me. I told you this wasn't going normal first Sunday. Maybe in 30 days you will get $1 million. I don't know. Maybe if you turn around 5 times, blessings will rain down. I don't know. I pray everything happen for you good this year. But I got to teach you what God told me to teach you. Stop being a goat. All right. Your goat self. Blessed are you. Blessed are you, my sheep. Because you took care of me. You will inherit. Go in the Bible. Y'all think, Pastor, making this stuff up. No, I ain't. Here it is. Look at verse number 34. Then shall the king say to them on the right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now notice that he does not say now, he says to the sheep. He says to those on his right hand. It's not now about, see, now it's not about your stewardship. Now it's about your reward or your punishment. No more sheep talk now. No more goat talk. It's about where you are in relationship to me, God says. And what you got to understand today, child of God, is that you're not just showing people your position in church. Every day of your life, you're showing people your relationship to the Lord. I love it, Lord. I love teaching your word, God. You are showing people not how much you know in the Bible. You're showing people your relationship to God. I live the best I can with integrity and try to love people, not so I can show y'all I'm the best pastor in the world. I do it to show you my relationship to the Lord. Watch, 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 watch. Watch what he says. Blessed are you to inherit the kingdom. This now means, because I want to give this disclaimer, that this message today is not about you working to earn salvation. Don't think you can do all these good works and let's go get you in. Look what he says. He does not say to get the kingdom that you bought. Inherit. It's a gift. Y'all missed it. It's a gift I'm giving you because you are my children. You can't work enough to inherit some. See, your children are getting inherited because of their relationship, not because of the work they've done. Because you're a child of God, there are some things that he has already prepared for his children. All you do is do what you have already in you to do because you are a child of God. You don't work to be saved. You work because you already are saved. I love not to be saved. All the work I do for the kingdom is not to show y'all I'm saved. It's because I am. I love to do it. But you can't earn the kingdom because the kingdom was prepared for you if you're a child of God. So he says, inherit the kingdom which was prepared before the foundation of the world. Before you and your mom and daddy came together, before you wrote the church charter, before you got ordained, before you got licensed, before it was already prepared for you. And look at, let's keep reading. Because y'all keep thinking I make this stuff up. For I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in jail and you came and saw about me. And they say, now watch this. This is sheep talking now. These are folks who got inheritance. Lord, I don't remember seeing you. These are folks who got the inheritance trying to figure out how do we get so blessed. Because I don't remember seeing Jesus personally. But Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me water. I was naked, you clothed me. In other words, you took care of me. And they said, I don't remember seeing you. I remember seeing her. I remember seeing him. All we saw was opportunity to do what you were called and commissioned us to do. But when did we see you? He said, when you did it to the least of them. Jesus says, I'm watching what you do unconsciously. I'm watching your stewardship when the camera is off. I'm watching how you love folk when the hope house ain't open. Can I tell you an indictment against all of us? We pass by ministry every day trying to get to the church. And it's quiet now. You see folk who need some help. You see people who need an embrace. See people who may need a ride in your car that can't nobody sit in but you. Rainy day and somebody walking trying to get there and you passing by. That's one of them times you done passed by Jesus. But everybody can't come get in your car, can they? They got a bad smell. Everybody can't come sit on your new couch. Everybody can't come up in your house, can they? You only go see family members that sit. Only when your son get locked up. But if you are a believer, if you are a sheep, you follow the character of your shepherd. How can you be so anti-Jesus and say you a follower of Jesus? And you don't do one thing that's in his character. Loving everybody unconditionally. How can you be so differential about who you help, but the Lord say feed everybody? Why are you just feeding white? Why are you just feeding black? Here's the problem. You just might have missed Jesus looking for who you think is Jesus. Look at the opportunity. Look, other folk needed a mask. Other folk needed a box of food besides your family. And you called and hooked them up, but then you wouldn't help somebody else up that you know your next door neighbor don't have anything, but you wouldn't help them out, would you? But you call people who don't need it because you hooking up your family. Problem is, you hooked your family up, but you missed Jesus. So the best thing you can do is not put stipulations on who you bless. Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, that this, we done got so churchified, and I know there ain't no word, but we've gotten so churchified that we forgot the times we were hungry. We forgot when we were thirsty. We forgot when we were naked. We forgot when we were poor. We forgot when we were busted and disgusted. Now we don't know what it's like to go through stuff. You've gotten so affluent. You've gotten so educated. You've gotten so blessed and prospered. You've gotten so much stuff now that you moved away from the hood, and you're now in the suburbs. Ain't no suburbs in Winfield. We still in the country. And now you can't stand this. When people walk by you that don't look the best, you got your nose up in the air. You hold your breath. You don't touch them. See, no, you can't come up in here. I thank God he ain't let us come up in this new sanctuary yet, because we're going to be having a problem about who able to come in, who can come sit down. You got to look right. You got to smell right. I thank God he done shut that mess up, because some of y'all may have clean clothes and a dirty heart. So God want people with dirty clothes and a clean heart. And until we understand how to do this right, we ain't coming up in here. I was hungry. And Jesus said, you fed me. You took care of me. You took care. How? Because you took care of the least. You took care of those who nobody else looked at. Not to be impressive, because had you known it was me, you would have tried to be impressive. You didn't do it to show a kind act. I can't stand when folk post on Facebook and on social media a picture of them feeding somebody and giving somebody some money. You already done got your reward, because why you got to be seen doing something? That should be a part of our everyday life. I'm looking for somebody to bless. I'm looking for somebody to help. I'm looking for somebody to be a blessing to. What kind of believers are we, and we got to show everybody what we're doing, and then everybody like it and tell us how great we are? That's not Christian service. That's not representative of the Savior. Jesus came to save us who were the least, the lost, and the left out. So why are we not looking to save the least, the lost, and the left out? They don't need that money. They don't need no help. You don't know what they need. And if you don't want to give them the money, take them to the store and buy it for them. They're hungry, take them with you and buy them the food if you don't trust what they're going to do with it. But I don't want to get in trouble of missing Jesus, because I'm trying to bring justice. And the church of God is in trouble because we've been missing Jesus looking for the church. And God never told you to come to church. He told you to be the church. I'm in trouble, ain't I? I got to leave this alone. I'm in trouble. Because we got this thing all mixed up. Because we think it's about us. You got to tell everybody what you did for somebody. Churches should have been feeding the hungry. You shouldn't have needed a pandemic. I'm ashamed that we needed a pandemic to feed the hungry. And then we had to, no, I better not bother that. And got the nerve to fight over how we bless people. So that the blessing can't even get help now, because we're fighting about who in charge of the blessing. God is in charge. What does it matter as long as we feed people and help people and do what God said do? But that's the problem when you let goats do sheep work. Anytime goats try to do sheep work, it's going to be some mess. Because when sheep just simply want to represent the Savior, ain't no fussing, ain't no fighting, ain't no attitude. It's just giving unto the Lord. But ghosts want to be seen. Ghosts want to be heard. Ghosts want the recognition. Sheep want the Savior to be seen. When did we do that for you, Lord? Well, when you did it for the least of these. Come receive your inheritance. Go and receive what is prepared for you. I got to leave this alone. King, as much as you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you have done unto me. It is believed, according to commentators, that Jesus is referring to all the Gentiles and their stewardship over the 144,000 Jews that are left over. The 144,000 Jews that are left after this tribulation period, who still stand in the midst of persecution, who are the Jews who still stand. They love the Lord, but life has whooped them. And the Gentile stewardship is being watched by the Lord to see how they handle God's people, because they're going through. It's a remnant of people who represent the Lord, but they're going through. And God wants to see how really saved you are. Or you going to help folk who are different than you? When it's more of you than it is them, or you're still going to meet the need. That's why he called them my brethren. Because it's believed these Jewish brethren, bring it to today, the ones that are good people who love the Lord, they just fall on hard times. Are we so deep that we just can't help people in their hard times? You know what I've learned? That if you have the right mind and the right heart, people can't use you. I'm going to say that again. If your motives are sincere, if you mean it and you want to glorify God, people can't use you. Can I expose the devil? The problem is we try to use the people we're helping. We're the ones using because we want to be seen as the one who's so great. We're using people and making them all their personal charity cases. I learned the age-old lesson. Don't give something you can't afford to be without. If you so hung up on what you got to give and get something back, that's not giving. Where is your heart? Every time we do a mission, well, how much? What's the limit? How many we going to do? How long we going to be there? I'm only going to give you 2 hours because I got other things to do. Only you think God's supposed to be impressed because you done showed up for a photo op. I wanted y'all to see. I came. I'm here, Pastor. I'm here. Then you leave after I haven't seen you. You've been better off staying at the house because you didn't come to serve. You came to be served. And goats are slick now. Goats, they'll look like sheep. They sound like them. But they only do it to be seen. They trying to use. And so worried about somebody using them. You know why? Because they're users. Then he shall say, he left them alone. Y'all go inherit what I got for you. They so busy praising God because they don't know. Ooh, they saying, whew, we made it in. We received a blessing we didn't ask for. Because we were faithful, he took care of stuff we didn't know we needed taken care of. Because we were just faithful and had the right heart. I didn't know God was looking at us the whole time. He was watching us. It was Jesus. And I started to get in my feelings, but that was Jesus. I started to pass her by, but that was Jesus. I started to not do it, but that was Jesus. Thank God I heard my heart and I heard the Spirit. I didn't get in my feelings. Because my feelings would have got me. Because there's another side. And these feelings you got and this attitude and this frustration with people, go get some of us knocked right back over. Because now he's ready to talk to them. Now you, I'm not messing with you, messing with you, because you just happen to be over here. All right. It's all right. Now y'all over here, y'all ready for me to talk to you? I'm going to word again. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, on his left hand. In other words, their relationship to him, not their relationship to one another. Not their relationship to the church, their relationship. Good pastors go be on the left. Good deacons who can pray, who can cross their legs and wear 3-piece suits. Some great singles go end up on the left. Because they only sang on their day.
Only sang when they was on the lead the song. They ain't never know how to build back up. Mm-hmm. I know I'm keeping y'all too long. I'm sorry. On the left. Now, I'm going to say something to y'all, Jesus says. Depart from me. The last time you're going to be close to him, you're on the wrong side. The last time you're close to Jesus, you're in the wrong place. Ain't that frightening? That you don't get another chance to be this close, and as close as you are now, you're on the wrong side of history. That the story is told and the book is closed today, what side of Jesus will you be on? Not by how much you done shouted and cried and acted a fool in church, by your stewardship, how you treat folk. Not how much you cry and how much you get, how you treated people puts you on certain sides. Not how many times we put all on you. Not how many sermons you preached. Not how much Greek and Hebrew you knew. Not how much background scripture you knew. Not how many Dr. Watts you knew. Not how many songs you sang. Not how many songs you played and rehearsed. Not how many times you locked the doors and unlocked the doors and locked the doors and unlocked the doors. How many dollar bills you counted. How many times you rang the Sunday school bell. That don't matter. How did you treat people? All this work you doing for nothing because you don't love the people you're doing it with. But somehow, some way, we start thinking this is about us. I've never seen a society full of selfish Christians. That's an oxymoron. That's two contrary terms, selfish Christian. There's no way you can be both at the same time. If you're selfish, you ain't no Christian. If you're a Christian, you can't be selfish. Because as a Christian, a true believer, you're always thinking about somebody else besides yourself. But when you're selfish, it's always what I'm going to get out of it. Ain't going to mess over me. Ain't going to use me. You consider other people that you may hurt. I'm not going to do this in front of them because I don't want to hurt them. I don't want them to trip and fall watching my life. Some stuff I ain't going to say. Some stuff I ain't going to do because I love God and I love his people. Everything you can do, you shouldn't do. I'm going to be me. I'm going to say what's on my mind. That's the problem. No governor, no watch on what you say. Just say anything. You shout Sunday, you're on Facebook crying Saturday and Sunday night. Something ain't right. And all this we doing, how we treating each other. See, social distancing ain't no problem for people who've been spiritually distanced. Some of y'all been cut off from the fold a long time. Social distance don't bother you one bit because you don't like people anyway. You can't stand people anyway. This is just what you've been wanting. How can I creep in the fold and not have to talk to nobody, not have to deal with nobody, and I can still do what I'm supposed to do? I can still preach, ain't got to look at them. I can still sing, ain't got to deal with them. I can still show up and sit there, and I ain't got to deal with them. Thanks be to God, I ain't got to talk to nobody. God says not so. And now you ain't representing me. This is a dream for some of us to show up with a mask on. Now I got a reason not to hug you because I've been trying. I've been looking for years to miss the fellowship period. I came at 11:15 on purpose so I could miss hugging them. Now I ain't got to. Thank you, Lord. Now I can show up and get a word because all I'm here for is the word. But did you hear enough word to tell you forgive? The same words you came, you come for, you ain't applying. I feel so much better. I ain't slept all night. Because, Lord, I'm laboring, toiling with this word because I know how y'all are. Not just people in this room, y'all on Facebook. I know how y'all are. And I'm tired of, I ask the Lord, let me help us and see what you're saying about our walk with you. It's getting late in the evening, and the sun is almost down. And God has something to say about how we treat and do one another. And I'm not talking about the stuff you do openly. I'm talking about that back door,
back behind the woods beneath the core mess you doing and thinking and saying about your brother and your sister? You loving the world or you loving the church? God said you can't keep doing that and represent me. Let me get back to y'all. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Here it is. According to this text, God don't put you in hell. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. You signed up to go because you would not go to where he prepared, because you weren't willing to do what prepared people do. And it was all said and done, I put myself in hell. I put myself in eternal fire because I would not love. I would not fellowship. I would not share. I would not help somebody. I wouldn't even look at the least. I want to give $5 to millionaires, people who can't even, don't even need it. But people who need it, I don't give any time. All that, 30 years of faithful service to the church, but no service to God. Go get some of us to a place that was not even prepared for you. You signed up to go there because you'd rather be a goat. I ain't going to hell for you. Who you going for then? It would be better for some of us to resign. It would be better for some of us to resign with the heart you really have about God, about ministry, and about people. Because I don't want to be hiding behind a title and that title get me put somewhere because my heart don't line up with the requirements. You might have a degree in accounting and should count money. Your heart ain't right. Don't you go in that office. A lot of people know the 66 books. Go be on the left. And some people only know the word, it is written. Go be on the right side. That's God's word for America. That's God's word for Louisiana. That's God's word for Winfield. You can't keep hiding behind this denominationalism, behind a title in church. How can you justify supporting wars foreign and think $600 is supposed to help a family and father and a mother lost their job and you fighting over $600 and all y'all who fighting over make six figures? God, Lord have mercy on us. Lord have mercy on us. People with six figures fighting over you and I making 600. God forbid. And you all take an oath raising your right hand and put your hand on the Bible and say you go support the Constitution, but you're not going to support God. God forbid on us lying, we're going to end up on the left. Being Republican and Democrat, go put us on the left. I'm a child of God beyond being a Democrat or a Republican. $600 for to send this country to hell because it shows that we don't care about the least of these. But every 4 years, here you come to my house. Here you come to my church, want to speak to my people. Here you come, want to share with my people and bring me have a fish fry for me and boil crawfish for me and give me a button and give me a bumper sticker and put yard signs in my yard. And you love me every 4 years. But when you had a chance to help me and we put you in a position to make decisions and make changes that will help our community, you want to say $600 and you fight over it. And you making 10 times what I'm asking for. God forbid. Tell them I said it. That's an indictment against the body of Christ who have hid behind Christianity and we're not living it. How can you trivialize somebody who's hungry? How do you trivialize poverty? How do you trivialize somebody who's needy? Some people didn't have a Christmas. Some people don't have a turkey. Some people didn't have dressing or stuffing. Some people didn't have a gift. For some people, just having the lights on was a gift. It's the least of these that's going to get us in the most trouble. How we've treated the least of these. Not us having church, but while we have in church, are the people in your community, are they reflective of what you got in that church? Have you made a mark when you go down the hill? Or are you just worried about coming up the hill? But on your way up the hill, you've passed somebody trying to walk it and crawl it, and you were driving. Did you try to help them? What did you do to lift somebody? What good for us to have a great, wonderful building and campus and the houses around this community are dilapidated and destroyed? That's not, something ain't right. Because we ought to be making a difference. We ought to be in a position, get in trouble. We ought to be in a position, bad these houses are, we ought to be in a position at the church to start having affordable housing from the church and create homes and communities for our own people. That they should have to worry about HUD. They should have to worry about Section 8. They should have the church that's already got homes built. Zion Estates. Have the whole block. Yeah. The whole block where we got people who have affordable housing or elderly ain't got to worry about heat and air and worry about Social Security. We got people. The church is taking care of his or her community. But we don't think like that. Because we fight over whether or not we ought to even open the Hope House. Give them a box. They don't need that. How you know what somebody needs? Depart from me. You cursed into everlasting life, which was really prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even for you. You went. For I was hungry, and you wouldn't feed me. I was thirsty. You had a cooler in the back of your truck and wouldn't give me any water. I was naked, couldn't get to the outreach center, but you wouldn't even bring me a shirt. Naked, wouldn't clothe me. But Lord, if we'd have known it was you, this is what the goat say. If I'd have known, I would have done it. Sheep didn't need to see if it was Jesus because it's already in them to do the right thing. Goats need a reason to do what the Lord say do. Sheep need opportunity. All I needed was a chance to give God my best. Goats got to have a reason. When, Lord? I don't remember seeing you. God, we didn't know it was you, Lord. We the show gave you something, surely, Lord. He said, them people you passed over having church with your deep self, worrying about your furniture and worrying about your, don't want nobody stacking up your car and don't want nobody messing up your floor and can't nobody come up in your church and can't nobody put their hands on your wall and can't nobody make a mess. You can't handle crumbs. That's when you miss Jesus. You put them out your church because they don't understand how to act. They're looking for a word. All they know is that they're trying to feed their children, and they found some crumbs, and you got hung up over crumbs and put them out your church. We ain't put them out. We just looked at them dirty. That's when you put them out. We went and said something to them. When that young lady came in with a short skirt on, but she really needed help. You don't understand that that was the last skirt she could find. She just got beat last night. She was strung out on drugs, and she heard she could go to New Zion and get a word and get some help and get some love. But instead of y'all loving her, instead of y'all helping her, y'all looked at her skirt, and you went and told her, baby, pull that down. You can't come in here looking like that. That's when you miss me. That young man came in with dreads. He was sagging. All he had was a wife beat on, and he didn't smell so good. He smelled like drugs, and you put him in the back. Because he looked like a threat. He looked dangerous. So you put him in the back because he didn't look like church. And all you deacons up there who do work, smoke the same dope you bought it from him, and you bought the liquor from him. You his daddy, he don't even know it. But you put him in the back because he don't look right. That's when you miss me. That young girl who got pregnant and you made her beg the church pardon, you made her embarrass herself and say something right there, but the daddy, the one led the motion and the second, that's when you miss me. The least of these. Least of these. Because the church don't know how to get his or her hands dirty. And I got to tell you the truth this morning. Ministry is dirty work. True ministry is dirty work. That's why Jesus told his disciples, when you go to people's houses, wipe the... Because it's dirty work. This is not for the affluent. This is not for the cute. This is not for the dignified. This is for those who don't mind going to the least of these and tell him about a Jesus who loves everybody. If he turned me up, if he picked me up, if he turned me around, brother, sister, he'll do it for you. I'm done. What kind of Christian are you? The one you can't stand, he still died for them. The one you judging, he died for them. That's why Paul says there is no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are in fellowship with him have no problem with fellowship with others. It's a shame we've had to make fellowship a cuss word in the church because we don't like people. Because it always got to be a condition for you to be a part. Who do you think you are? That everybody's got to meet your requirement to be a part of the family of God. You yourself have been unlovable. God spared you through your goat season. And he's still sparing you with your goat-like tendencies. Because every born-again believer still got goat-like tendencies. I want to offer Jesus this year. I want to offer you the church because this building can't save you. These pews, these chairs, none of this stuff can save you. All these gifts you have can't save you. I want to show you Jesus who loves all of us and who is concerned about the least of us. On your worst day, that's the most concern we ought to show for you. I want to say to God, forgive us, oh God, as your representatives for the times we have turned from you.
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you. And if you'd like a copy of this CD, please send a donation and a self-addressed envelope to P.O. Box 893, Winfield, Louisiana, 71483. Or join us at our regular services at 405 West Jones Street, Winfield, Louisiana, Sundays 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Communion, first Sunday of each month, 6 o'clock midweek service, and senior missions and patrons meeting. 6 o'clock Thursday, Sunday school and teachers meeting. God bless you and keep you. May he lift up your countenance and give you peace until we meet again.